research has disproven many concepts that human beings at one point or another in time believed to be true. It's also shown us that some unlikely, actually seemingly impossible, ideas are factual. Take, for example, the planet, our Earth. We all know that for millennia it was believed to be flat, a plane which stood below the heavens. Then along came Anna Zamander, who, when trying to figure out how it was possible that the sun, the moon, and the stars revolved around us, suggested that the Earth had two sides and was surrounded by the sky's orbs. His idea eventually led to Aristotle's convincing argument that the Earth was a sphere with celestial objects around it. And their work was only the beginning of a revolution in our human understanding of the world around us. Now, you may or may not know that my studies as an undergraduate were in biology. I had wanted to be an English teacher, but my parents and my siblings suggested there was no money in that. And so I was pre-med. And they told me that was a more lucrative profession. And so I learned how to identify trees in winter, the names of the muscles in a human leg, the complex internal structure of a cell, and the steps involved in the miraculous process of photosynthesis. The more I studied, the more deeply I was convinced that the greatest gift of scientific inquiry, that fascinating quest for answers about the world we live in, the things we see and hear and touch, the greatest gift of a scientific inquiry isn't the truths that it has revealed to us, but rather the door that it has opened into a world of mystery. Scientific study taught me that even though human beings are capable of gleaning incredible knowledge about the world around them, the more we learn, the wider the scope of what we do not know becomes. There is so much to the world around us, to our universe, that our human senses can assess. If we only listened with our ears, we wouldn't know that trees can talk to each other through the deep network of roots that connects them underground. If we only used our noses to distinguish between cinnamon and nutmeg, which is an important thing to do, I grant you that, but if that was all we used our nose for, we wouldn't realize that our sense of smell, which is genetically determined, is unique to each individual, and that although some people enjoy the smell of cilantro, for others it really does smell like dirt. Or soap. If we believe that our sense of touch was only good for identifying the difference between hot and cold, then we might not understand how necessary touch is for the development of human children. Children have to be touched to grow up healthy. And if we only believe what our eyes reveal to us, if we think we see the world as it truly is, then we are truly deceiving ourselves. Fact is, and you and I all know this, there is so much more to the universe, both tiny and enormous, than we can possibly see. Our senses can only take us a short distance along the path of understanding. We need human imagination, vision, and inquiry in order to comprehend the mysteries of our universe. The questions we ask are always, always, always more important than the answers we receive. I'm convinced that the greatest gift of scientific inquiry, that fascinating quest for answers about the world we live in, the things we see and hear and touch, the greatest gift of scientific inquiry isn't in the truths it has revealed, but in the revelation it continues to offer. Science keeps on showing us just how much we do not know. In his elegant and accessible book, Seven Brief Lessons on Physics, Italian theoretical physicist Carlo Rovelli recounts some of the most fascinating and difficult to comprehend features of the great revolution that has occurred in physics between the 20th and 21st centuries, and of the questions and mysteries that that revolution has opened up. In his book, Rovelli suggests that what modern physics has done is both enabled us to better understand the world and revealed the vast extent of what we still do not know. Over the past 100 years, Rovelli suggests, we've come to accept the truth of Einstein's simple and elegant general theory of relativity, right? We've all heard of that. We know that tiny particles called atoms exist. We've wondered about the relationship between time and space. Einstein says, time is not a straight line, space curves. We've learned that light is made up of tiny packets of energy called photons. More recently, the study of physics has blossomed into new fields of scientific inquiry, including quantum mechanics, which has revealed that all of chemistry, I hated chemistry, it all boils down to a simple equation. It all emerges from a single equation. Physicists have ventured into other directions, studying the microcosm of elementary particles and the macrocosm of the universe. We now know not only about neutrons, protons, and electrons, the pieces that make up an atom, right? We've also gleaned insight into other particles, quarks, and gluons. Gluons hold things together. Cute scientific name, right? And how they're related to one another. Looking in the other direction, at what surrounds us in the night sky, we've discovered not only countless galaxies and black holes, but we've come to realize that all of these are linked by a vast ocean-like web of interconnection. It's not a vacuum out there, friends. Scientists have also come to realize just how much remains in the realm of the mysterious unknown. Each answer begets more questions. I'm convinced that the greatest gift science has offered humankind isn't what it has proven to be true about the way things work. No. The greatest gift science has offered is the revelation of just how much we human beings still do not know. Take the story of Mary Magdalene. Factually speaking, what she saw that fateful morning that we now call Easter was nothing but an empty tomb. Everything else about her story was, and continues to be, beyond human reason, beyond belief. It falls into the realm of mystery and open-ended questions. I find it fascinating that although most Christians know the name Mary Magdalene, she's a familiar figure in our Easter story, they know very little else about the woman. Quite honestly, that's because there is so little written about her. We know that she was from Magdala and that she was a female disciple of Jesus. She was one of the many women who followed and served him, preparing meals and maybe even supporting him financially. She might have been one of the people, as was suggested in this morning's reading, that Jesus healed. She was definitely one of the first witnesses, and maybe the first witness to what we call the resurrection. But that's not all we know. Contrary to popular opinion, Mary Magdalene was not the woman who anointed Jesus' feet. She was also not a woman of ill repute. The biblical narrative doesn't actually support those ideas. But was she beautiful? Was she literate? Did she have kids? What had her life been like before she encountered Jesus? It's just not possible for us to know. All we know for certain is this. She was a disciple. She was a primary witness to the resurrection. She was from Magdala, that ancient city on the shore of the Sea of Galilee, the city whose name means watchtower or fortress. As I suggested to my grandchildren, she seems to have had many of the qualities the word Magdala would imply. She was strong and caring. She had foresight and resilience. That's what we know. It won't surprise you to hear that I agree with Harry Emerson Fosdick, who said, "I would rather live in a world where my life is surrounded by mystery than live in a world so small that my mind could comprehend it." I am convinced that the greatest gift science offers humankind isn't what it has proven to be true about the way the universe works, but rather the door that it has opened into the unknown. Every time we learn something new, more of that which is unknown comes to light. All of this leads me to think about the gift that Mary Magdalene offered. Once she had gotten over her initial shock, because clearly she did, and bravely had described her experience as best she could to others. Mary's gift lies in part in what she didn't see. There was no body in that tomb the morning she went to anoint it. The dead body just wasn't where it was supposed to be. Mary's gift also lies in the subsequent experience of mystery that she entered into and then shared. In the vision that she had that morning, she was drawn forward into a previously unimagined future. Science has taught us that the world around us is unimaginably complex. Its pieces are intricately interrelated. Science is as much an invitation into the unknown as it is a study of that which the human mind has already comprehended. So the real question, and it's all in the questions, the real question we ought to be asking each other every year when we hear this ancient narrative about Mary Magdalene isn't where did Jesus' body go, but rather, where does this mystery call me to go? Mary Magdalene's story is a gift to us because, in a way, it invites us to envision a conversation between our faith and the science that we study. They are interconnected. Both are essential. Both urge us to ask better and better questions. Science is an invitation to grow our understanding of the physical world around us, to uncover its mysteries, and to open new doors of inquiry, to envision what might be, to seek answers. And faith is an invitation to be more than we imagine is possible. Grounded in what we know, faith calls us to venture into the unknown, to merge story and study, to envision what previously seemed impossible, and then be drawn into that mystery. The scientific mind, working all the time. Friends, Mary Magdalene has offered us the gift of inquiry. Who is God calling you to be? Where will the mystery that we call faith lead you to go?